Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about why weightlifting is important to age well. So this episode comes out of a question from one of the podcast listeners that was asking about why weightlifting is important as you age and if we really can maintain our muscle as we get older. And so the answer is yes, we can maintain our muscle as we get older. We do have to do some increases in weights though. We can't just stay at the same weight and just plug along with your 2 pound weights, you know, just walking with those and grooving with those. You have to work on increasing the weights. And today I'm going to talk about why weightlifting can be a great addition to your workout routine and the many benefits that it has for you in addition to just helping you look good. So, did you know that you lose about 7 pounds of muscle mass every 10 years? And depending on how much an average individual gains in those 10 years, it could be that you lose 3 to 5% of your muscle mass each decade. That sucks. And that starts to happen in the 30s. And a lot of us think that, in the 30s, once that muscle mass starts to go down, there's nothing we can do. That is so not true. You can regenerate your muscle mass. And the way to do it is with proper weightlifting. Now, I'm not talking about going into the gym and putting on the big old pounds on those big plates on the barbells. I'm talking about increasing your weight lifting experience over time. And I'll talk about how that works in terms of gaining some muscle mass. Not that you're going to be ripped out with veins all over the place. That's for folks that want to be in the gym for multiple hours a day. I'm talking about your average person. You are not, ladies, this is basically going out to ladies, you are not going to bulk up from lifting weights. The only way that happens is if you're in the gym multiple hours and you're working intently to do that. That is a myth. And so if you're afraid of that, I say throw that idea out, trash it. It's not the way it works. All right, so let's get a little technical here. The fancy term for loss of muscle, or otherwise known as muscle wasting, is known as sarcopenia. Hey there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, and today's episode is all about why weightlifting is important to age well. So this episode comes out of a question from one of the podcast listeners that was asking about why weightlifting is important as you age and if we really can maintain our muscle as we get older. And so the answer is yes, we can maintain our muscle as we get older. We do have to do some increases in weights though. We can't just stay at the same weight and just plug along with your 2 pound weights, you know, just walking with those and grooving with those. You have to work on increasing the weights. And today I'm going to talk about why weightlifting can be a great addition to your workout routine and the many benefits that it has for you in addition to just helping you look good. So, did you know that you lose about 7 pounds of muscle mass every 10 years? And depending on how much an average individual gains in those 10 years, it could be that you lose 3 to 5% of your muscle mass each decade. That sucks. And that starts to happen in the 30s. And a lot of us think that, in the 30s, once that muscle mass starts to go down, there's nothing we can do. That is so not true. You can regenerate your muscle mass, and the way to do it is with proper weightlifting. Now, I'm not talking about going into the gym and putting on the big old pounds on those big plates on the barbells. I'm talking about increasing your weightlifting experience over time. And I'll talk about how that works in terms of gaining some muscle mass. Not that you're going to be ripped out with veins all over the place. That's for folks that want to be in the gym for multiple hours a day. I'm talking about your average person. You are not, ladies, this is basically going out to ladies. You are not going to bulk up from lifting weights. The only way that happens is if you're in the gym multiple hours and you're working intently to do that. That is a myth. And so if you're afraid of that, I say throw that idea out. Trash it. It's not the way it works. All right. So let's get a little technical here. The fancy term for loss of muscle, or otherwise known as muscle wasting, is known as sarcopenia. Unfortunately, I'm finding that a lot of folks in my practice are actually in the state of muscle wasting. And I find this out by doing labs to determine what's happening with their metabolites in their urine. And so this is called an organic acids test. And you can do this through something called the NutriEval from Genova. You've heard me mention that before if you've listened to any of my podcasts. And the other test is just straight organic acids testing from a company called Great Plains Laboratory. And you can actually see what's happening with your muscle status and your metabolism status. It also helps to tell you how you're breaking down proteins, fats, and carbohydrates as well. And unfortunately, I'm seeing all too often we've got a lot of folks who are muscle wasting. And this is guys, this is gals, it doesn't seem to matter. It seems like these are folks are folks who are a little bit more stressed. They're in their mid to late 30s, early 40s and 50s. And unfortunately, they're trying to figure out what's going on with their metabolism. And they're just not able to put on muscle, or they're finding that they're not maintaining what they have, even though they are weightlifting. Now, there are some important things to keep in mind. Now, if you stop weightlifting for 10 to 14 days, or you stop doing any type of workout for 10 to 14 days, you are going to have muscle loss and metabolic change. That's kind of freaky. That's a 2-week long vacation of doing nothing. So this is important to make sure that you are as active as you could possibly be, because losing muscle mass causes trouble with your metabolism. And actually, muscle loss is the cause of decline in metabolism in adults. And unfortunately, the biggest connector there is that the more muscle mass you have, the increased caloric burn you have, but also the better you are at balancing blood sugar. And the reason being is because your muscles will uptake glucose, so sugar that comes in your blood from what you eat, and it stores it as something called glycogen, and it's stored to be used later for energy. Now, unfortunately, what I've been finding is happening is we've got a lot of folks who eat way too many carbohydrates that are processed. Then their body is basically sick looking at those glucose molecules, and the body's not utilizing those glucose molecules like they should and sucking it into cells and making energy with it. And so, unfortunately, that extra blood glucose gets stored as fat, and that is a bummer. Now, the next bummer to that is the more stressed out you are, the more your blood sugar is going to go up. And technically, all of us are stressed to a point. But some folks are definitely feeling it a little more than others. And I do see in my practice a big connection between heavy levels of stress and muscle wasting. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we have to get control of our stress levels, get ourselves relaxed. And one of the best ways to do that is to work out in the gym. And weightlifting actually has a great effect on stress management, but also mood. As weightlifting, just like running and things of that nature, can help with release of serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. And it doesn't take miles of running to get to these endorphins. Now, you see, I used to be a runner. I am a recovering marathon addict. I loved marathons. And it always took me every single time of running to get to the 6-mile limit. That was like my mileage. I had to get to 6 miles before I got that endorphin release. And boy, after time, 6 miles every single day to try to get that endorphin release to feel good, that wears on you. It really does wear down your body, and that's pretty sucky. And I found that with weightlifting, if I have a good lift where I'm really getting my weights up to a point that I feel good, but I'm sweating and I'm breathing heavy, I feel amazing after that workout. And it's been proven over and over again. In particular, I've got a note here about a research study from the University of South Carolina. They found that women who were put on a twice weekly program of weight training literally had a 60% decrease in their anxiety levels in only 6 weeks. That's huge. And this was not an intense weightlifting program. This was a moderate weightlifting program. And when we're looking at a moderate weightlifting program, we're looking at a program in which each time you lift, you're challenging yourself to lift just a little bit more, like 2 pounds, a pound more, something of that nature, so that those last 3 reps of your set feel tough. Because if you're lifting weights and you're not challenging yourself, and by that I mean you're lifting weights and you're doing a million billion reps, but you're not feeling the burn, you're not feeling tired, or not feeling like it's hard to push those weights up or push them or row them or whatever you're doing, if it doesn't feel hard those last 3 reps, you're not going to get metabolic change. It's going to be the same as going running for 6 miles. So that is the key component here. And really, what I'm talking about is load placed on your muscle. So let's go into a little bit of what's happening physiologically when you're weightlifting. So when you add weight, so let's go with a dumbbell, for example, and let's go with the bicep muscle. Everyone knows where their bicep is there on the front of your arm. And imagine that you have a dumbbell in your hand and you're going to do a dumbbell curl. You're going to curl that muscle up and you're going to take that dumbbell and try to put it towards your shoulder. And if you do that motion with a 1 pound weight and you've never lifted weights before, chances are if you get to about 8 reps or so, you're going to feel like, oh, I'm doing something. This is getting hard. But if you get to 15 reps of that and it's not very hard and you can just curl really easy, you're not going to get as much benefit as if maybe you took a 5 pound weight and you tried the same thing. So you go up and wait until you get to those last 3 of the lift that are feeling kind of tough. Now, another big thing to keep in mind is that when you're putting load on a muscle, so you're giving weight to a muscle to help it to get it to pull upwards or push downwards or whatever the motion may be, the key component is how many reps you do. Because if you're doing 15, that's a lot of reps. That's just a maintenance kind of program. If you're doing lower reps, something between the 3 to 8 range, now that's where you're going to be putting on some muscle, because the lower reps means that you're going to put more weight because you can't do more than 8 reps. 10 would be the max on this. So get back that dumbbell. Imagine that dumbbell in your hand and you're curling it up. Now, when you put load, so weight, in your hand and you put that tension on your muscle to work to curl that muscle up, what you're doing is that tension on that tendon is signaling to your brain that, oh, this muscle is going to be used more. And if that muscle is going to be used more, the body's like, oh, we need to make sure that we get that connection of that tendon in the bone stronger. And it's also going to go, oh, it looks like this person might be using this muscle more. Let's send some more blood flow to that muscle. It'll also stimulate the release of growth hormones. And these growth hormones will trigger the connections of the muscle there to literally migrate more proteins in so that we create more protein filaments within the muscle. And it's those protein filaments that increase, not your muscle cells. You're born with all the muscle cells you're ever going to have. You're going to get more proteins that infiltrate into your muscle cells that are going to contract more to allow for more tension to be placed on that muscle. So more load so that you can increase your weight. As this goes on and you keep doing this exercise, so a couple times during the week and it goes on for about 6 weeks, what ends up happening is that your body actually starts to put in more mitochondria. So mitochondria are these little factories that live within every single one of your cells to make energy. And so each time that you go back in and lift weights over a certain couple of weeks, and in fact, the research has shown 3 weeks It takes 3 weeks to really stimulate your muscle to start to increase blood flow, to start to increase mitochondria. And really, it does that based on the amount of tension you're putting on that muscle. So the more weight tension you put on that muscle, the more it's going to keep increasing the blood flow to that muscle, the protein flow to that muscle, and the production of more mitochondria. So energy production sources there. Now, the big missing link that a lot of people miss when they're going through a weight training program is that they're slowly increasing their weight, but at the same time, they're forgetting that their body needs key components to make energy, key components to make growth factors, key components for hormones. We need to have balanced hormones to be able to create muscle. If you don't have enough resources to make testosterone, because maybe you're not eating enough fat or maybe you're not digesting the fat, well, you're going to have some problems. I also see this with ladies in menopause or guys in andropause. Andropause is the reduction of testosterone in males, and menopause is the reduction of progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen in females. And most commonly in females, a lot of times we'll see females having trouble with maintaining muscle, but also maintaining mobility in their joints because they're losing estrogen. That's a big deal. So it's absolutely crucial to make sure that your hormones are on point, that you're getting in your nutrients, literally that you're breaking down the food that you're eating. And I don't know how many times I see patients coming in and they're like, I'm not, you know, making any changes in my body and I've been doing this weightlifting program for forever. Well, it's because we need to go back to basics. You need to make sure that you're digesting food properly. You need to make sure that you've got good gut bugs so you can absorb your B vitamins, because your B vitamins are crucial for making energy, and you need to be able to absorb vitamin D. Vitamin D regulates inflammation in the muscles. It literally can stop you from having an autoimmune, so overattack type of situation, but it can also regulate insulin release, so allow that glucose to get in to those muscles for energy, and it can also help with the enzymes involved in making energy. So you definitely need to make sure that you're getting the nutrients from what you eat. The other biggie is sleeping enough. That is absolutely huge. A lot of us are not sleeping 7-8 hours a night. We need that time for our muscles to be able to recuperate. So I digress for a second. So now we've got that dumbbell in our hand. Let's go back to that. And we're going to work to try to contract that muscle. Now, if we keep working on contracting that muscle with that 2-pound weight, and that's all we ever do, you might as well just keep running and not lift any weights. It's not going to give you that strength as if you had 2 pounds going to 5 pounds, going to 8 pounds, going to 10 pounds. The more you can increase the weight, the better that muscle is going to adapt, and you're going to see more change. But also what you're going to see is that connection from that tendon to the bone is going to get stronger. So now here's a crazy side note. Anthropologists can look at skeletons that they find out what that person did for a living based on the connections of where the tendons weave into the bone. That's pretty cool. So they can tell if someone was a manual laborer versus someone who was a desk jockey or versus someone who was ill and not working at all or even walking. So it's kind of crazy, but something to think about in terms of the meaning that weight lifting has for your body. Because if you can see change in the bone, that means you are going to be laying down more bone if you're lifting weights. And we all know that as we get older, our bone also loses density. Best way to maintain some bone density? Lifting weights. Same thing here with strengthening joints, not letting them be wishy-washy and sloppy. If your muscles are stronger around certain joints, you're going to have healthier joints. It's just that way. And it's huge. It's huge to think about this. So another big crazy thing that's absolutely huge with weightlifting is that it helps your nervous system to coordinate. Because if we're having a load on a certain muscle, like for example, your right arm, if you are working your right bicep, your left side of your brain is going to be processing the motor control over that right bicep. Sounds nuts, but all of your nervous system components do cross across the spinal cord and into the brain. It's pretty cool. So literally you can see change in your coordination in 2 to 8 weeks after starting a weightlifting program. Now, of course, those who are somewhat in shape, maybe you have been running, you're going to see change faster. Those of you who have never lifted weights or done much physical activity in your life, it's going to take some time. And like I said, it usually does take about 3 weeks if you're working out 5 days a week with a little bit of weights to see change. Unfortunately, it takes 3 weeks to degrade those muscles completely. And like I said, you will see degenerative changes in the muscles. So in terms of definition and things of that nature, in 10 to 14 days of stopping working out. That sucks. That's not good. But the cool thing is once you're working with your muscles more, they're going to have more caloric burn. So your metabolism is going to get faster. You're going to use more glucose. So anyone who's pre-diabetic, lifting weights can help you with burning blood sugar. You're also going to get more oxygen to your muscles and to your brain, which is going to help with moods. Absolutely huge stuff here. It is amazing. Now, one of the things to think about, because I think a lot of people think about weightlifting and they're like, I don't want to bulk up. I don't want to be super huge. And this is mostly for females. I don't think I've really ever heard a guy say they didn't want to bulk up, but I know there's some folks out there. And really one of the big things to think about is a lot of us, when we think about getting in shape, we're like, oh, I got to do a ton of cardio. Well, cardio over 20 minutes. So anyone who's stressed out, if you're doing cardio over 20 minutes, you're going to increase your cortisol even higher. And cortisol being a stress hormone is going to prevent you from being able to maintain muscle, especially if you're in a state where you've been stressed for a long time and you're starting to become weak and you're pushing yourself at the gym despite feeling tired. That's a problem. Really, I am a huge proponent of short cardio, interval workouts, so that you're keeping your cardio under 20 minutes while you're weightlifting. And that means you're not going to stress your body out further, because if you're boosting cortisol, a lot of times when you stop working out, that cortisol is at a peak. And unfortunately, we go home and we eat right after that and put the cortisol up even higher. Or what'll happen is if we can't get food after working out, that cortisol is going to drop, the blood sugar is going to drop, and you're going to get a huge crash and reactive, literally, hunger and spike after that. And sometimes I see people have some issues with food and what to choose, because the mind goes crazy when it thinks that it's starving. So one of the most important things to think about, though, in terms of weightlifting is making sure before you jump into a program, you really want to make sure that you are moving correctly. Because what I unfortunately will see, and this is kind of where CrossFit gets a bad rap, and rightly so, a lot of people jump into CrossFit and they haven't had a functional movement assessment. They don't know what muscles are weak on them. And so they go in and try to do some really intense workouts without scaling it and unfortunately get hurt. And so one of the most important things I recommend to my patients before we even get them lifting weights is that they have a functional movement assessment. And you can get a functional movement assessment easily. Google physical therapists and functional movement assessment. You will find some in your area. I highly recommend going to ones who are sports specific. You don't want to go to just any old physical therapist. You want someone that is a sports specific physical therapist who understands the motion of the body related to weightlifting or any sport, really, because they'll be able to identify those discrepancies in terms of your muscles. So that's my first thing that I have folks do. I have them go over to the trainer, and typically I will have them go to a physical therapist that's an athletic trainer as well, or someone that is specific to sports and weightlifting if they can. And I have them do squats, and I have the physical therapist tell me with those squats what's weak. And most of the time on people, it's going to be the glutes, it's going to be the hamstrings, it's going to be the back muscles. Because unfortunately, most of us are kind of hunching towards a fetal position at any given time because we're stressed, we're tech-necked, we're hunching over computers, we have poor posture, and that's just kind of how things roll. And we sit a lot, and unfortunately, sitting does not help with the contraction of our muscles in the front of us and making our other muscles in the back of us weaker. So moral of the story here is go and get a functional movement assessment so you know if you're weak and where. Same thing goes with biceps, triceps, because a lot of times we'll have strong biceps, but our triceps, those muscles behind them, will be weak. It's this whole front side, back side. So one side of the muscle is the agonist, the other one the antagonist. You always want to figure out which one's weak, because that's where we start to have trouble in terms of weightlifting, is if one muscle is weak and the other one's going to compensate quite a bit, that's not a good thing. You want to be nice and balanced out. Then you want to go back to nutrition. So first and foremost, before you go and work out, you want to have a movement assessment, and you want to make sure that you are digesting your food and you're getting your nutrients out of your food. How do you do that? Well, for starters, you assess your situation. Are you burpy? Are you gassy? Are you bloated? Do you have diarrhea? Do you have constipation? What's happening in the poo department? That's huge, because if you have no idea, well, you have no idea what you're doing with food and if you're digesting it. And so that's number one, assess the situation. Then number two, go and get a test done. I highly recommend either the organic acids test or the NutriEval by Genova. You can get those from naturopaths or functional medicine docs in your area. Absolutely critical to go after that stuff. So then once you get yourself digesting, you figure out what's up, you definitely need a multivitamin, because your B vitamins are critical for making energy. And I typically will have folks look for a multivitamin that is higher quality, one that has 25 to 30 milligrams of vitamin B1, B2, B3, B6, and B12. You definitely want at least 500 micrograms of B12 to get your body going and maintain your energy levels and help out with that ATP. Another biggie is vitamin D. Vitamin D helps your muscles work better. Fish oil absolutely helps to increase muscle mass, because it's going to help with decreasing inflammation and boosting protein metabolism in your mitochondria, your factories in every single one of your cells. So not only is it going to help muscle, it's going to help the rest of your metabolism as well. Now, the next big thing is protein. A lot of us do not eat enough protein because we're too busy eating junky carbs. And I highly encourage you to look at the grams of protein that you eat, use like Fitness Pal or something of that nature, and see where you're at. And see if you are at least at 75 to 80 grams of protein a day. That's a baseline. And then typically I will have people work up from there. So you could do the math. You could do a calculation, 0.8 grams per kilogram. So there's 2.2 kilograms per pound to get that conversion going. But that's the baseline, 0.8 grams per kilogram. And if you're working out and you're lifting weights, I typically have people increase it to 1 gram per kilogram. And you can do the math there and figure out where you're at in terms of protein. Now, there are some sources that say you need to have equivalent to your pounds in protein. So say someone weighs 130 pounds, you want to be consuming 130 grams of protein according to some sources. Now, what I found is that for some people, that's too much. Either A, that's too much overload and they can't digest it, or B, they turn some of the protein into carb. And that does happen for some folks. So something to keep in mind, and really, I don't highly recommend jumping right up to that amount of protein right off the bat. Slowly increase and work with a nutritionist or a naturopathic doctor or functional medicine doc to help you in that component, because it's tricky. Everyone needs a different, it's not a one size fits all situation. Now, what is important is finding a good source of protein. My favorite protein source is Stronger, Faster, Healthier in terms of a whey protein, if you can tolerate whey. If you cannot tolerate whey, I like Vega Sport, because you can get some nutrients in with the Vega Sport. Orgain is not a bad company. It's just not one of my favorites. But I do mention it because it is one that's easily accessible and better than some of the other ones out there on the market. It just does not, it has a little corn component and it has dextrose. So something to keep in mind. The Stronger, Faster, Healthier products, their vanilla is awesome, and I like their coconut and strawberry coconut. So there you have it. Just something to look at, strongerfasterhealthier.com. I've got that in my resources for you to check out. So for all intents and purposes, the reason that I wanted to go through this is, yes, because I'd had a lot of questions from my patients, but also because I see so many folks, unfortunately, quitting running, and then they stop and they don't know what to do in the gym. And maybe they'll get on the elliptical and go for the elliptical, or maybe they'll start swimming. And I think all of these are great. I don't ever want people to stop moving. I just think that we need to have some muscle work done. So work on the weightlifting, because of all of the huge benefits for posture, for caloric burn, for keeping your blood sugar in check, keeping your mood in check, but also for being able to balance and have great coordination. Honestly, the older folks that I know that have stayed lifting weights or even working in a situation where they lift all day long different things that are heavy do a heck of a lot better than the folks who don't. I will give a prime example of this. My father, he is 81 years old. He is strong. He's about the same size as me. He's a little dude, but he's super strong. He can lift quite a bit and he lifts day in, day out. Man's never been to a gym in his whole life. But his weightlifting does consist of lifting heavy objects 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day and shifting them around the garage as he's working on restoring cars. And so one of the other things that I wanted to mention before I end the podcast for this session is that it doesn't have to always be in the gym. You could be doing functional fitness, meaning lifting things at home, chopping wood, lifting the wood, stacking it. These are huge things that demand weight on your muscles. And so thinking about all of the different things that you might be able to do around the house that would involve lifting, and lifting 2 to 3 times a week to get started, and go from there. And baby step it up, because I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, not the gym. I hate the gym. That's okay. Think about ways that you could be lifting things on a regular basis using functional fitness. So there you have it. That is my spiel on weightlifting. I really do think that it can be extremely helpful for you, especially if you're not noticing gains in the gym and you're hitting up the cardio a lot, but never venturing over towards the weights. Go into your local gym, go into, find an independent fitness specialist. There's a tons of folks that have private gyms these days if you're not interested in a big gym. Or like I said before, you can work at home and do some functional fitness. There's a ton of cool YouTube videos out there to see what you could do at home. But don't be shy. Go in, see what folks have to offer. Try it out. Get some information. If you don't like one place, that's fine. There's plenty other. Hop around and ask your friends. Who do they go to for their fitness and weightlifting, and see who's the guru in town. It's important to try it out. There's tons of videos, but unfortunately, like I said before, you want some hands-on first and then videos. You know, if you're doing something functional fitness at home, sure, but learning how to lift weights properly is huge. I highly recommend getting some help so you don't hurt yourself, and then go from there. And don't forget, your digestion is key. If you're not breaking down your food properly, you're going to have a hard time with the muscles and metabolism. So get that on point, and then you'll be all set and on your way to being nice and fit and not skinny and flabby as you get older. Because let's face it here, nobody wants to be skinny fat. You totally want to have some muscle and be nice and strong and not get out of balance and fall and all that stuff that comes with getting older. You don't want to be that frail person. So nevertheless, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I've put all the resources from this podcast on my website at drjkrausnd.com. Once again, thanks for listening. Enjoy your day, whatever you're going to do.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.